from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All right, what is going on, Bay Area? Happy Independence Day, the 4th of July. Evan Giddings alongside Jason Dumas rolling on here on 95.7 The Game, rocking with you from 12 until 4. We got nothing but news to get into because the Warriors have made a little bit of a splash, Jay, kind of an intentional one that we knew that was coming, but still officially Buddy Hield, 3 years, $21 million, 18 guaranteed. Now I think everyone is wondering, will this 4th of July be like the one in 2016? I'm not so sure. That was KD Day. That was the day that shook up the Bay Area, that shook up the NBA world. Not sure if we're going to get quite that, but we're going to keep it here locked for 4 hours, and I'm looking forward to it. What's going on?
Yeah, what's up, Evan? Glad to be in here with you on this 4th of July. Beautiful day out in the city.
Dude, it's hot.
Oh, yeah, it's very hot. I mean, it's been hot all week. It's kind of a heat wave. I've been hearing all the complaints from Bay Area folks. I'm used to this. I'm from Philadelphia. You can cut the humidity with a butter knife in Philly this time of year. So at least it's a little drier heat here. But you know what? I don't mind the hot days to balance out every now and then the 58-degree mid-July day that we also get. So it is what it is. As far as the Warriors and Dub Nation and what they're hoping today,
I don't know if it's going to be as hot.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Now, look, I don't want to be a curmudgeon. I don't want to be a pessimist. Dub Nation wants a huge deal for their team. They want the Warriors to acquire someone to be Steph's 1B or 2A or however you want to phrase it. But the last 2 years, the main, obviously it's more nuanced than just this. But if you just get through all the nuance, I believe the main reason for the Dubs' failures over the last 2 years, they just didn't have a second best player. Mm. Their second best player wasn't good enough. You know what I mean? You just look up and down NBA rosters. Any team that wins something meaningful has two guys. When the Warriors were winning things meaningful, sometimes they had four guys.
Yes, they did.
But you get my point. So they're just not, last 2 years, they're not good enough for it to be Steph be the best player and then the second best player be a combination of Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Kuminga, or Draymond, whoever just decides to like really be good that day. And the Nation is hoping they can bring in that guy. Obviously, Lauri Markkanen, he would fit the bill, theoretically speaking. But I'm of the opinion, Evan, I think we were talking about this a little before we went on air, when there is so much noise around a specific deal and it's so loud, it hardly ever happens. Mm-hmm. The deals that happen are the deals that Mike Dunleavy is talking about right now to somebody in Milwaukee about Chris Middleton or somebody in Houston about Sengun. It's those deals that you don't see coming. Now, that's just me throwing out, spitballing some names. I don't think either of those deals are going to happen. I have no inclination that he'd be talking. I was just using that as an example. But the move, for instance, just case in point, last year, no one thought Chris Paul was coming to the Warriors.
Some people thought it might be a good fit, but no one was ever saying, oh, that's the guy.
That's the guy. And there wasn't a 2 weeks worth of Chris Paul trade speculation.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been Warriors and marketing linked to one another now for like 2-3 weeks. It's just, and it's getting so loud. It's just, I don't see it happening. If it did happen, I would cheer it because on paper, it looks like a great fit. And obviously, you would probably have to give up Jonathan Kuminga. You would think either Kuminga or Pajemski. And I like both of those players. But in the NBA, to get, you got to give.
Yes, you do. Yeah, and especially when you're dealing with someone like Danny Ainge. It's interesting because you mentioned...
He makes people journalists.
Yeah, yes, he does.
Ask Bobby Marks.
Dude, he has made a career of basically getting GMs to overpay. Like, I just don't want Mike Dunleavy to be a name on the body count. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's just, I mean, especially he's just good at his job.
Yeah, especially after his first full season. He's very good at his job. And just look at the Boston Celtics. How do you think they got Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, by basically getting over on a lot of people?
Brother, I grew up in a city where the team in that city traded a whole bunch of assets to trade up to take Markelle Fultz over Jason Tatum. So I am
well, to Washington.
I am well versed. I am well versed into Danny Ainge fleece jobs.
Yeah, and I just don't want the Warriors to be another one, like another notch on his belt. Shout out Wedding Crashers. So I just don't really, I don't want Mike Dunleavy to be that guy. But you, I mean, you are right in the sense that Lauri Markkanen would be a perfect fit, right? He's 7 feet tall, shoots the hell out of the ball, 50, 40, 90 guy. I think a big reason he may not have played as many games as he did in Utah is because it was Operation Tank. Like, they didn't have really an incentive for him to play. So there's a lot of load management involved. But he fits perfectly into the system. I think he'd be the perfect five with Draymond Green. He would not really hurt them too much defensively, but he would open up everything offensively. All that is well and good, but you're spot on in my opinion that it's just too good to be true.
Dude, when Draymond has a big who can space the floor on the floor with him, I mean, he's already Hall of Famer, but like it unlocks something in Draymond that is so pure on the basketball court.
He's like a center fielder. Like, he turns into Kenny Lofton the moment that gets somebody who can space the floor.
I mean, and he made it work with Looney. I mean, that's just how good the Warriors have been and how good Dre has been over the years. But getting someone who can stretch the floor, who is also a big body. Now, Lauri Markkanen, obviously, he's not the most physical 7-footer. But I think if he was in an environment where Draymond Green is in the trenches with him, it's going to rub off. You're going to just naturally become a little more physical. If you don't, Draymond Green's probably going to curse you out. All in the spirit of competition, obviously.
Yeah.
And he's young and impressionable. That's the thing, too. Like, people are like, don't mortgage your future for Markkanen. Marking him would be your future, part of it. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you might have to get off of 3 firsts, but you have Lauri Markkanen for the next 4 or 5 years. He's only going to get better. You can build around a guy like that. He's a 7-foot guy who can shoot, pass, and rebound. You know what I mean? Like, so I think the Warriors need to go ahead and try to get it done, but I just don't see it happening. Like you said, Danny Ainge, he's conjuring up a lot of interest, playing the game just to fleece somebody. And I don't think it's going to be the Golden State Warriors who get fleeced. I think they're going to reserve themselves. I think Mike Dunleavy has done a pretty good job up to this point as tenure as GM. I know he catches a lot of flack, but that's like low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
If you actually just, he did not take in an ideal situation.
No. No, and in fact, and we can get into this again, 12-4, Giddings and Dumas, 95.7 the game, 888-957-9570 is the number. Also number for the Xfinity Mobile text line. Shout out to our YouTube and Twitch chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Everyone rolling in here, put the dogs down, put the beers down, pull up a chair, listen to your boys for 4 hours. We can get into Dunleavy because I think he's been put, like you said, in a very difficult position. But as far as marking him, You know, Jay, I've been trying to wrap my mind around the possibility and just how, like, the machinations of it. How would it work? I think you're right that it would include Kuminga, but I also think it would just include an insurmountable amount of draft picks that would make me personally feel uncomfortable. Now, maybe it's because I'm more of a risk-averse person, but I also, Jay, you mentioned something earlier about getting a second best player. Like, the reason the Warriors floundered much of last season because we didn't know who the number two was. Don't think that Lauri Markkanen on a team that people are hoping that they can be. Again, the move this summer is to try and get them back to title contention. I'm not sure that move is out there now. We heard from the Ramona Shelburne piece that they've tried to trade for LeBron James. I think that obviously is a clear cut number one or number two. Paul George, you know, he might not be the greatest, but he is a number two, especially next to Steph.
Yeah,
even Mikal Bridges is one of the best 3D players in the league. I don't look at Lauri Markkanen like those other big fish. I think he's a big fin. Shout out Finland. I don't think he's a big fish.
I hear you. I disagree. I think he can be the second best player on a team that can make a deep playoff run and potentially win a championship. Because, one, you got to understand, it's not like a super team where it's like two guys and then just a bunch of guys who are just cap fillers and try to figure it out. Warriors would still have talent up and down the roster, especially if the majority of the trade assets was draft capital.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think Pajemski, Wiggins, Moody, and Kuminga. You got to think at least two of those guys will still be on the team if they made a trade. And I think all four of those guys can be and are, some already are, positive rotational NBA players. You got Buddy Hield, positive rotational NBA player for the most part. Things were really weird with the Sixers last year. We had Rich Hoffman on from PHLY Sports. He talked a lot about Buddy Hield, and we can get into that as to how it didn't work out for the Sixers last year. But for the majority of his career, Buddy Hield has been a rotational positive player. Then De'Anthony Melton, really good player. Just had some back issues flare up last year. Outside of those injuries, he has been good his whole career. So I think the Warriors are deep and talented enough. I actually think Mike Dunleavy has built a perfect team to contend if they can get that player of Markkanen's ilk. It doesn't even have to be Lowry. He's not the only guy in the world who can be that guy. There's probably names that are being floated around for trades right now that no one has any clue about and no one is even talking about. Then there's even a guy like Brandon Ingram. Now, Brandon Ingram, I would be a little harder pressed to say he can be your second best player on the championship.
Agreed.
A little harder pressed than Lowry, but it's an upgrade. And I mean, you also wouldn't be selling the farm to get Brandon Ingram, I wouldn't think. So bottom line is the Warriors just need to keep getting better. They need someone to take the pressure off Steph Curry. Steph Curry 2 years ago against the Lakers in that playoff series, you could tell how desperate he looked. Last year, even.
Shooting the play-in game.
In the play-in, you could tell how just desperate he looked. And yeah, you need to get him help. You need to get him. It can't be Steph and 9-10 other role players. It needs to be Steph, another star player, and then some role players. And then we can get something going. But the last 2 years, it's been Steph and a bunch of role players. And that is no disrespect to any of them. Draymond Green is still elite at what his role, but he is not moving the needle enough to be your second best player. And cumulatively, if you just, all things considered, when he's on the court the last 2 years, he's probably been the Warriors' second best player, and that is just not going to win championships.
Yeah, especially if you need something offense. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here.
Right.
And look, for all of Clay's flaws, the guy could still go out and get you 20 mm-hmm. on a good night. Yeah. Now, he didn't have enough of those good nights, in my opinion, to get the bag that he was looking for.
They were just too inconsistent. Clay had enough.
And it wasn't against the teams that you would hope.
Yeah. I mean, Clay had enough good games where at the end of the season, and
he killed the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, look at his numbers at the end of the season. What, it was like 38% from deep. What, like 17 points per game he averaged, something around that?
Something like 14 shots.
Yeah. So, like, when you look at the numbers blindly, Klay was solid. But if you watch the Warriors every night, the inconsistency is what really hurt the Warriors. He would go on like an 8-week heater, Evan, and then he would disappear for 6 weeks. Then he'd go on another 3-week heater. Then he'd have 4 straight bad games. And the last 2 years, I mean, it's not an opinion. It's just a fact. Last 2 years, when they needed him the most, he was absent. He was not contributing to, I mean, you see it under every Instagram post. I know you see it too. I know everybody sees it. So that was that's when a time they needed him. And then the year before against the Lakers, he was outplayed by Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell. I sent out a tweet after that series a year ago that picked up a lot of steam. A lot of people agreed.
You've been doing that lately.
Oh, geez, man. But
those DMs got to be flooded.
Oh, they're crazy. last year against the Lakers, bro, the Warriors were outplayed by everything was pretty much equal. What swung that series was pretty much the fact that Jordan Poole and Klay Thompson were outplayed by Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell. And if you even want to throw him in, Lonnie Walker, mm-hmm. of all people. So when the Warriors needed production the most, it hasn't been there. It's only been Steph. And then Steph, even his play falls off a little because he is, you can just tell he's exacerbated. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Warriors need to fix. Offensively, they need a second scorer who is consistent, who they can rely on day in and day out.
And I do think Lauri Markkanen is a player. And that, again, that's the one that's in the crosshairs right now for everybody. Like, that is the player that everyone wants. And I think it's really easy to understand why. Because of age, because of fit, and because of salary. And also because of potential team control. Like, I'm imagining if you trade for Lauri Markkanen, you'd be able to re-sign him to a long-term deal. And to be fair, like, the amount of picks that you'd have to give up, this was something that I hadn't considered until, honestly, this morning. The fact that if Lauri Markkanen doesn't work out, he would still be a player that you could flip. And he'd probably be an asset that a lot of teams would need. Now, the reason why I wouldn't consider him a two, I mean, he'd be a two on the Warriors, but I look at Mikal Bridges as more of a big fish for the Knicks, because that I could legitimately see that being the missing piece.
Right.
I think the Warriors are missing quite a few pieces. Now, really? They've been able to fill some gaps, and we can get into, I agree with you. I was listening to you guys yesterday, you, Granny, and Dibs. I think you were spot on that this roster is in much better of a place than a lot of people feel like it is, especially when you think about, okay, what did they turn Klay Thompson into? They turned him into a bench, potentially starting two guard, that was probably going to be the role, in my opinion, that they envisioned for Klay anyways next year, taking a step back in minutes, taking a step back in shots, focusing more on efficiency, which Buddy Hield can do, knock down threes, and then a three or a four in Kyle Anderson, who is not going to, you know, wow you, but he's a smart basketball player. I think he fits in the Warriors system. And so they turn Klay into two of those pieces. I think those are good moves. But none of those are going to startle you. They're not going to be there on opening night saying, wow, that's a guy, I got to line up and buy $250 tickets to go see Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield. I just don't personally think that Lauri Markkanen does that for me either. I think he elevates the team. But to me, I guess I wouldn't be willing to mortgage the immediate as well as potentially the future, Jay, for a guy that I don't think he gets them to a top four seed. And in the West, that's probably where you need to be to envision getting out of the second round, which they were 2 years ago.
Although the Mavs, weren't the Mavs the six seed or the five seed?
They were the five. They were the five. They're 51 win, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Say they do get Lauri Markkanen. Where do you think the Warriors would be lacking? Now, of course, I'm not saying they'd be the perfect team with him, but I'm saying they get him on the team. Let's just, for this argument's sake, they get Markkanen, they give up 3 first-round picks, Moody and Kuminga.
Yeah.
So where do you think, like, where do you build on from there?
Well, if you're giving up Kuminga and Moody, you're probably lacking a little bit of wing depth.
Yeah.
I think you would take a step back athletically. Because I don't know, maybe I'm on an island. I also think that if they find a way to clear some room for Moody and Kuminga, like, those players can help you next year.
I'm the number one fan on the Moody train, man. I've been saying it since he got drafted. I love his skill set. I love his game. I've been watching him play since he was in high school. He was a very, very accomplished high school player. Now, Don't get me wrong. I know high school, college is a different beast. But, like, his peers who he's in the NBA with, the guys who are, like, one and dones and in his high school class, his name was up there with all of them, you know? So, like, he's a talented player. I just don't think he's gotten his due. And, in fact, like, when people are talking about, like, oh, you're going to lose Moody, I'm like, who cares? Steve Kerr doesn't use him.
Well, that's true.
Like, who cares if you lose Moody? Steve Kerr does not use him. I'd be happy for Moses. Yeah. I would be thrilled. He's going to go out and get to play somewhere because now he doesn't. But so don't get me wrong.
And right now it's looking like he might potentially get buried on this team.
Seriously, because
they got a lot of wings right now.
It looks like the same issue because...
And a lot of wings that... You don't really know what the hierarchy is.
Right, because it sounds like Pajemski's going to start next to Steph.
Yep.
And then you have right there, Hield, De'Anthony Melton. Those are two wings right there.
And I think Moody's probably more of a three right now in his career. Yeah, I mean, look, you got Wiggins. If Kuminga can play the three, he's there. I mean, just taking a look at the three and the four. Because right now you also don't really have, I guess, TJD would be your starting center, but you would have, okay, Kuminga,
haven't even
Wiggins,
mentioned GP2.
GP2, who Kerr has already shown you he will play.
Yeah.
And he will play over Moody.
If he's healthy, he's going to play.
You also just added Kyle Anderson.
Forgot about him.
So there's four wings right there that I just named that might be ahead of Moses Moody on the depth chart. And I could realistically see it, not because he's a bad player, but just because it's, again, to quote Steve Kerr, it's a numbers game. And if you're 12, well, you can't play 12. So I'm with you. That's why I do think that there is a move coming this summer. I just don't think it's going to be the big swing that everyone was expecting. And especially, I think it's ironic that we're sitting here talking on July 4th because they swung the biggest acquisition in the history, arguably, of basketball, adding Kevin Durant to a 73-win basketball team. It's going to be nowhere near that. Like, to me, I think Mike Dunleavy right now is, to your point, Jay, trying to identify a player that just kind of suddenly became available. I think that's how they got Chris Paul. They didn't think he was going to be available. They didn't think he was going to be gettable. And all of a sudden, Phoenix moves him to Washington.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, he's on the table now.
Yeah, because he was like, I'm not playing a second here.
No, hell no.
I am not playing a second here, no. So y'all better figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm not even taking a flight to Washington. Just let me know where I end up.
I think it's funny. Like, I'm just imagining, because what he found out, I was reading the Times article, he found out that he got traded to Washington from his son, right? His son was on social media. Yeah. It was like, Dad, you got traded. And I can just imagine him going, well, we ain't going to Washington.
Right.
Like, they might have traded me, but I'm going to just hang out wherever I'm at, off-season home. I ain't stepping a foot in D.C.
They were probably in SoCal. I'm pretty sure that's where he spends. That's where his kids are in school, I believe, in Southern California. That Kevin Durant day, that was crazy. That was crazy.
Do you remember where you were?
Yeah. I was living in Maryland, working in the DMV market, the Washington, D.C. market, living in Maryland. And I'm going to be honest. And I'll probably get a lot of Warriors fans ticked off at me because they hate this. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is cheating.
Well,
I was like, this is cheating. This is so dumb. Kevin Durant is going to the Warriors? Are you kidding me? And then I was just like, they're going to win the next five championships. And they almost did.
Yeah. Honestly, if he had re-upped, they very may well could have.
That is just a reality, Dub Nation. Look, whether you think I'm right or wrong is beside the point.
You hate to see it.
The reality is the majority of NBA fans hated that. They were like, what the heck?
Dude, the players hated it. You hear Evan Turner talking about how y'all were suckers and like that was a cheap-ass move. Y'all were weak. He's literally talking to Andre Iguodala.
I know, his boy.
Yeah.
With Evan Turner, it's like somewhat of the right message. I wouldn't call them suckers. Somewhat of the right message, but the wrong messenger. Wrong messenger. Sit those conversations out, Ev. I've seen some clips from those podcasts. He is so quick to name call and call people this, that, and the third. It shows a lack of self-awareness.
He's an interesting cat, just as an aside. Like, I got a chance to cover him a little bit in Portland.
He's a weird Twitter follow, too.
Yeah, he's a weird dude. But to your point,
I think he's just trolls.
But I do think he speaks for a lot of fans. I don't know about players, but you know, a lot of fans that they just felt like the Warriors ruined the league. And in fact, I mean, it might be a little bit of a stretch, shout out to what the Warriors are looking for right now, but I do think the reason why we're talking about the second apron and the CBA is because of July 4th, 2016. Like, that was aimed at making sure that you could not do that ever again.
I know.
Because to your point, a lot of people felt like it was cheating.
They did. Like I said, I know that burns people up in Warriors Twitter and Dub Nation's fan base. I see it all the time. I see those arguments on Twitter. Like, oh, well, you guys had to run and get KD, blah, blah, blah. Empty titles. I would never go that far. There's no such thing as an empty title. But, yeah, the majority of my knee-jerk initial reaction when I saw that news come down on the bottom ticker was not excitement. It was, are you kidding me? This is BS. That was my initial thought. This is a time where I had zero earthly idea I'd be covering the team full-time in the next couple years. Because he did, that was 16?
Yeah.
Yeah, I came 18. Yeah, my first year was his last.
Mm.
I came beginning of the year. I got to town in July. So, I mean, I've been here 6 years.
Hell of a year to cover.
Yeah, I've been here 6 years this month. So I came July 18. And I've said this on these airwaves. It was actually, I hated covering that particular team. It was so much drama. Everyone was always walking on eggshells. Kevin Durant was a curmudgeon all year. DeMarcus Cousins was a curmudgeon all year. Andre Iguodala, he's never the most like chippy, dapper guy to the media.
Yeah.
He can be very, very
He seems cool, and then you approach him and you kind of figure out that, yeah, he's not the most approachable fella.
No, he's not. And like, you know, I try to treat everybody with respect. And sometimes I think it's the setting, because I've had good conversations with him totally away from like the media room, whether it's Steph Curry's
off the record stuff.
Yeah, whether it's just not even like off the record, but nothing like we're even having basketball conversations or about the word, just talking life, like at Steph Curry's underrated golf tour, or we have a great mutual friend, so I've seen him out with him. It's cool. But anyway, we kind of tangent, but that team was not fun to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Kerr said that team was not fun to coach. He's already gone out and said that. He said he had more fun coaching the Kai Bowman Warriors the next year. He did. His words, not mine.
Well, I do think that the Warriors this upcoming season, they won't quite be the Kai Bowman Warriors, but they definitely won't be the 2019
Shout out
Warriors.
Kai Bowman. I don't mean that as a slight. He was a fun guy to cover. That whole team, they stunk, but they were all good guys.
What kind of team do you think that the Warriors got upcoming this season? 888-957-9570 is the number. That's also the number for the Xfinity Mobile text line. Evan Giddings alongside Jason Dumas with you, taking up until 4 o'clock on a happy Independence Day. By the way, the California Classic is coming to Chase Center in 2 days, 48 hours, July 6th, a summer basketball showcase featuring the 2024 NBA draft picks. Herb Bronny might be there. Second-year pros and more players. Go to Warriors.com for your tickets. All brought to you by Clean California. Remember, just one piece of litter can ruin the game. Zero litter is the goal. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.